of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. Very familiar piece of scripture. One that I feel led to build a thought out of. At least the Lord has built the thought out of. If you would stand with me this morning, we'll read a few verses together of this very familiar passage. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. In other words, he's allowed him to be tested. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah means foreseen of God. That's what it means. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Lord, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God, for the very fact that you've allowed us, God, to have a copy in our hands, in our homes. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the sweet Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts, that has inspired this great Word of God to be written. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for the infallible, inerrant, entire, complete Word of God. Father, we pray today, God, you'd help us that we might preach with power and in again the demonstration of the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to see truth this morning and make application to our lives. Thank you, God, for saving us, a whole wretched sinner. Lord, I love you this morning. It's not that I loved you, but that you first loved me. And I thank you for that. And we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to take the time this morning to recognize members and veterans of our service, military to our country. And so I'd like for you men and women, if there's someone here, you're a member or you're a veteran or retired out of the service, I'd like for you, if you would stand, I'd like to honor you this July the 4th weekend. If you're here this morning, would you please stand, all of you? Amen. God bless each one of you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate all the battles that this country's been blessed of God to fight and win. Don't you? I realize the devil will do everything he could to stop this nation. God has certainly been good to us. Today when we talk about our freedom for July the 4th, we have to realize that freedom is not really free like we say that it is. It's cost many people their lives, and it's caused much bloodshed. There's been numerous places of battle. There's been beautiful places, and there's been ugly places filled with shame. I think a lot of the battles that took place, the Revolutionary War back there where we got our independence from Great Britain, about how some of the battles fought at Bunker Hill and other places. The Great Bridge in Virginia, those are beautiful places and great battles won and great battles that were fought. And got to think about the Civil War. It was a place of shame, was it not, for our nation to have to go through such a place. And yet such battles were fought like Gettysburg and many others. And World War I, where the whole world basically got into war there. And there were many battles. The Battle of Lorraine, where there was over 100,000 lives that were lost, that were killed, bloodshed on just one battle. And then they got to think about World War II and Pearl Harbor, and what a shameful event, but yet in what a beautiful place. And get to thinking about battles that took place on D-Day there at Normandy. And boy, I tell you, think about Vietnam and Korea and even modern-day Iraq. There's been a lot of battles that's took place. But I tell you what, all those battles together, they could not all add up or equal that one battle that took place in one place. And today we want to preach on the place called Calvary. If you look with me in Genesis chapter 22, right where we are, verse number 3, the end of the verse, the first time we see this, do you see it where it says, the place in Genesis 22, verse 3. Do you see it? He went unto the place of which God had told him. And in verse 4, again at the end of the verse, for the second time, when Abraham lifted up his eyes, he saw the place afar off. And then thirdly, in verse number 9, and they came to the place that God had told him of, or told them of. And I get to thinking about how that in all this, all these scriptures, there's three times right there where the phrase, the place, occurs. I looked it up on the computer and began to dig. How many times does the phrase, the place, occur? 176 times that phrase is in the Word of God. 176 times. But I want to go to Luke 23. Luke 23. And read just a few verses there. We'll try to anchor here in this spot. Down at verse number 32. There in Abraham's day, when he was offering, getting ready to offer his son Isaac, he said, My son God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. He was fully intending. God had asked him to sacrifice his son. And he believed God so much that he was willing to do so, believing that God would raise up that child again if necessary. And so he was willing to take his only son. And he was in a place called Moriah. That was the place. And again, Moriah means foreseen of God. God knew that exact place. In fact, when we read Luke 23, verse 33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The word Calvary is in the Bible one time. In the other Gospels, it's written that it's Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And here in the Greek, the word Calvary is the word Calvarium, which means the skull. In fact, if you looked at Calvary, it's not representing the skulls of those crucified. If you looked at that big rock, it looks like you can see the eye sockets and the nose and around the mouth area there. It looks like a skull. We want to think about the place. You realize that, number one, this is the place of prophecy. God Himself planned where Jesus would be crucified. It was the plan of God that Jesus would give His life a ransom for our sins. The Scripture says in Revelation 13 that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan. And then as the Old Testament began to be written, as the Holy Ghost moved upon those writers, many of them would go off and prophesy by the Spirit of God about Jesus being crucified. David said in Psalm 22, "My hands and my feet, they have pierced." In Isaiah 53, he wrote that he was wounded for our transgressions and that he was bruised for our iniquities. In fact, in the Old Testament, every priest that would one day offer a lamb was pointing to the one lamb that would come and take away the very sins of the entire world. In fact, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 20, would you turn there with me? Jesus himself preached about the crucifixion, about the fact that he would one day give his life on the cross. And this is just one of the times he predicted it, and I'd like to read it to you today. In Matthew chapter 20, verse number 18, Jesus, again preaching about future events. It's a spirit of prophecy. It is going to be the place of prophecy. "Behold," in verse 18, "we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." So certainly we can see the place called Calvary was a place of prophecy. It had been planned, it had been predicted, it had been prophesied, it had been proclaimed, it had been preached about. This would be the place where the Son of God would give His life. Oh, I'm telling you what, the place of Calvary is Holy Ground. Amen. Amen. Second of all, it is the place of pain. It was upon that cross that Jesus, they put a title over his head, the King of the Jews. It was written in three different languages. He had another sentence over his head. It was a death sentence that he would have to give his life by crucifixion. I'm telling you, the most horrible way to execute a man is by crucifixion. There are many ways to do it. Lethal injection, they say it's painless. You can take a man and electrocute him. You can put him in front of a firing squad. You can hang him by a noose. You can over-medicate him. You can do a lot of things to kill a man by execution and torture. But the most cruel way found or known to man was by crucifixion, where it pulled the bone away from the muscles and even departed the very sinews there. And a man could be known to live upon a cross for a number of days. Yet, my friend, our Savior wasn't just anyone crucified like others were. He was slapped through the face, beaten beyond recognition. His very beard plucked off his face. He'd been scourged at least 39 times by a cat of nine tails, y'all. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form among the sons of men. Nobody had ever been treated as cruelly as our Savior. It was the place of pain, a place of suffering. But my friend, as he hung there, God, it pleased him to bruise him, and it pleased God to take our sins, the cuss words that I said, and the actions that I've committed. He took all my sins and all your sins and put them upon the Savior's back there. Can you imagine what a weight that must have been? How heavy that must have been for him. He that was holy, he that had never known sin, he that had never committed sin, he's going to take upon himself our sin that we might be saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." And you realize what the wages of sin is? The wages of sin is death. Calvary was the place, y'all, that our Savior would give His life that you and I might live. Not only that, but upon that cross there, Jesus would know for the first time in history the separation between the Father and the Son. They had never been separated before. But when my sins were put upon His back and He hung there, God the Father had to turn His back and look away. Jesus, as He hung from the cross, said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? They'd never known separation. What a painful place Calvary must have been for our Savior. I'm telling you what, of all the human suffering and of all the battles that ever took place, Calvary was the place of pain beyond what any human could have ever known pain to have been. They talk about the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and how gory, supposedly, to some people that it is. It doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg, I don't think, to what our Savior really bore. You saw blood there, but you did not, my friend, see the pain of separation between God and Father. I can't imagine what a place. Thirdly, it is the place of payment. God's justice called for a payment for sin. He said, the wages of sin is death. I was a sinner. I was the one that had to die there. But I'm so glad my Savior was willing to go in my place that I might live. And as He shed His blood there, He hung His head there and He said this. He said, it is finished. In other words, my transaction for you has been completed. My blood has been shed, has been offered that you might live. It had paid my penalty. Hallelujah. There is no, hear me, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And our Savior paid our price. And nowhere else has such a payment been extracted. Millions and millions of people have died probably for our freedom or for other nations' freedom. But my friend, only one man could forever purchase your eternal salvation. And it is the place of payment, the transaction between God and His Son in our favor. Bless His holy name. The book of Hebrews says that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. In fact, there'll never be another sacrifice to be made. He'll never have to shed His blood again. One payment for all time. Glory, hallelujah, for that fact today. You hear me? He has satisfied the very justice of God. The Bible says in 1 John, go there with me, chapter 2, verse number 2. I'm trying to keep you from turning to so many places, but I want us to see this one today. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, I want you to see, I'll read verse 1 too. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Well, that's impossible for me, and it is impossible for you. So read the next sentence. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He's the one that has appeased justice. He has satisfied God's justice by mercy through the precious blood. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It was on that place when Jesus shed His blood that every boy and girl, every man and woman that would come by faith to Jesus Christ and come to that place that you might be saved, that your sins can be forgiven and the penalty of death hanging over your head can be removed. Thank God for pardon that you and I receive at the place called Calvary. Number four this morning. It is a place of power. In John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. Then a lot of mighty armies fight. been a lot of mighty men. I mean, there was men named Nebuchadnezzar, and there was all the pharaohs, and there was Hitler and Stalin with all their armed forces behind them. There's been the United States Army and the Marine Corps and Navy and the Air Force and all the other different servicemen, Coast Guard to go along with that. But nobody has the power that our Savior has. You see, because that place called Calvary, Jesus said in verse 17 of John chapter 10, He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." You see, nobody took it. Well, He was crucified, and they run up a spear through His side. My friend, He just suffered it to be so. He just willed His spirit and bowed His head and gave up the ghost. No man took His life. No devil took the life of Jesus Christ. He had the power to lay it down. Look at this. My Bible says, He says that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. You believe the Romans killed Him, you're crazy. You believe all of our sins is what killed Him. No, He gave His life there that you and I might be saved. He just willed it to be so because He had power to. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It is the place of power. Power to lay down His life, and in 3 days, power to take it back again. Understand something. The power that came from the blood of Jesus Christ was the power for our conversion. You are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold and vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. How are you redeemed? Because of the power that came from that place. Amen. Furthermore, He goes on to say that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things, listen, all things are made new because the old things are passed away. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we got saved, we became a new creature. How did we do that? Because Calvary was the place of power. He shed His blood and He had power to save us. He said in John 1:12, He said to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, how did I become a child of the King? Because of the place called Calvary. I believed in that. The precious blood that was shed. You realize what else it did? It cleansed me from my sin. Revelation 1:5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." He went on to say in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. He said in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I say to you, there's only one place you can go to get your sins forgiven. It's the place called Calvary, where Jesus shed His precious blood that you and I might be saved. That today, that you and I on July the 2nd might have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just today, but forever. My Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk after Christ Jesus. Amen? Hey, nobody can condemn you. We have liberty forever. I don't care if this country gets invaded and all our freedoms get taken away as American citizens. We'll have liberty because of our Lord making that one payment for all time, the place of power. Number 5 this morning. I believe that place was a place of promise. Now Jesus said, we read it a minute ago, and I want to read it here in John chapter 2, another place. Look what He said. He had made a promise before He was ever crucified. They were going to take His body off of that cross after He died and just go down from that place to a brand new tomb which had been hewn out of the rock by Joseph of Arimathea. And they laid the body of Jesus there in that place.
It was going to be the very promise of a resurrection.
And John chapter 2, in the second chapter, verse 19, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Boy, you know what? In that place, just on the very eve there, he had made a promise that he was going to give his life and on the third day be raised again. Well, in Matthew 28, the first 6 verses, he made good on that promise, didn't he? On the third day, he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Listen what the angel said. He said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said." I'm glad that Calvary was a place of promise, and he fulfilled it, amen, because our God's as good as his word. Not only, listen, there's a lot of people make you promises. A lot of corporations make promises. There are nations that make promises. Many of them are broken. But our Savior's never failed on one of his promises. Look here what he told us in John chapter 14. He's promised us about his return. He said, now this is right before he's crucified, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now a Savior, my friend that made a promise that he would be crucified but raised again and fulfilled it. When he made us a promise that he's coming for us to receive us to himself, that where he is, we can be also. I believe that Calvary is a place of promise. He's going to do just what he said he's going to do. He's coming back for us, children. Glory to God. Last one I want to read is in John chapter 6, verse number 37. This is another promise. It's one, I'm telling you, hallelujah to God, that I took hold of a long time ago. Look what he says in John 6, 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That's a promise. He said, if you would come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. I've been invited to preach revival, come before congregations only by the middle of the week to be asked to leave. I've been in other situations where people said, "Listen, we'll receive you. You're our friends." I've got letters at my house that people's wrote me and my family, "Oh, how we love you and how we appreciate you." And I've got them in my possession today. And they got mad at me and walked away. And no longer they sit in this congregation. And I still read that love letter about how it was so unconditional and nothing ever separated us. And they're not here today. I've been turned away by a lot of people. And I'm glad. Hallelujah. And no matter what I've done or how I've acted, irresponsible, sinned again, and if I'd feel the convicting power of God and I'd come and get on my knees and ask him to forgive me, he made me a promise that said, if you'll come to me, I'll in no wise cast you out. Well, I'm telling you, it's hurtful to be cast out and turned down by people. But I'm glad we've got one today who's never turned us down, who's never turned us away. I don't know what your sin may be. I don't know what your problem may be, but I'll make you a promise. Jesus said, I promise you, hanging for that cross, if you'll come to me, I won't cast you out. I'll forgive the greatest sin. I'm telling you what, y'all, I'm glad this morning for the place called Calvary. I've never physically got to go to that place. One night back there on July the 13th,
1978, amen, when I fell there in the Balfour Baptist Church, I fell under Calvary's precious flow. It's just like I'd been the place afresh, hallelujah. And if you're saved this morning, you know what I'm talking about. I've been the place called Calvary, and there ain't no other place like that, hallelujah. You just stay with me this morning. There might be somebody here, your head bowed, nobody looking. A few folks that come to instrument play. You need to get saved this morning. Oh, come to a place called Calvary. Nobody ever loved you or cared for you like Jesus. Might be somebody else here today. Boy, you've been saved a long time. God's been good to you. Maybe he blessed you this week in Bible school and you just ain't got over it yet. And you need to run down the altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me and for saving others. And thank you for a place called Calvary. Would you come this morning? Oh, Abraham took his boy Isaac up there to Mount Moriah. It was a place that God had planned. It was a place that God showed him. Boy, some of you this morning, you can go to Calvary. Pretty sure I can go back there, can't I? Yes, you can. Hallelujah. You can go back to Calvary this morning.
Thank you.